turn tonight to the book of Romans, and I've actually got three scriptures. And so Brother David and Brother Blue, who are helping us in the with the overhead, is probably going to bring those up for you. But I want to speak to you tonight on standing, not staggering. Now, you know the difference between standing and staggering. I wasn't raised in church home, and my family lived close by. They weren't Christians and churchgoers. And every now and then, I'd look out the window, and they'd be having a barbecue on the grill and country music. I'm not talking about today's country music. I'm talking about the old-fashioned country music. And I'd look out there, and my uncles would be talking, and my grandfather and some of my cousins would be out there, and they'd get up and go into the house or something. But when they got up to walk, they didn't walk like this. They kind of walk like that, doing this number here. And you know what? When I went to East Carolina University, for some reason, I didn't go to Bible college. And I wanted to go to Holmes College of the Bible. Amen. And it would have been great to have gone to Emmanuel College of the Bible. But I'll tell you what, at East Carolina, sometimes I saw those kids on Friday night, and this is the way they were walking back. They were staggering. But let me tell you something. You don't want to get staggering like that. Come on. We don't need to be staggering at what God wants to do in our life. God wants us to square our shoulders back, stand and see the salvation of the Lord, look the world square in the eye and say, I'm a child of the Most High God. There's a purpose on my life. There's promises on my life. And He's making diamonds out of the dust. And I'm going on. And I'm going on not staggering and giving up and can't hardly take it. But I'm going to shout. I'm going to run. I'm going to walk. I'm going to leap. I'm going to dance because of the Lord in my life. I want you to praise Him if you believe it tonight. Amen. Standing. Would you stand with me tonight? Standing, not staggering, on the promises of God. Romans chapter 4, we're going to tie in with old brother Abraham. And the pastor's been talking about Abraham the last few Sundays. I'll tell you, this morning was an amazing message, And I was so motivated by that this morning. And it was just simple, basic stuff. But thank God for the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Those eight things that he preached this morning, that changed your life. It's the anchor of your life. And I encourage you to listen to that. And I don't care if you've been saved 20 years. Those are good reminders of what we can do to get the blessings of Abraham. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 20. If you're there, say amen. Abraham, that's who he's talking about. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promises of God. Through what? But was in faith, giving to God, and being fully persuaded. My God, I feel a preach coming on. Fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded that God is working in my life. I am fully persuaded that the direction of this country is not in the hands of Donald Trump or the Democrats or the Republicans. I'm fully persuaded that God has a plan and God has promises for my... I'm fully persuaded. Now, you don't know what I'm facing tomorrow, Brother Ricky. You don't know what I'm dealing with. I want you, before this message to be over with tonight, I want you to... You know what you're doing? You know what you're doing when you talk like that? You're doing like my uncles out there. They need to grab hold of something. I love my uncles. Some of them are dead and gone. I hope they made it to heaven. I sure try. But I want you to know, you need to be fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Can you say amen? I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Pastor already quoted this tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. If you're there, say amen. For some of the promises of God in him are... Did I read it wrong, Pastor? Did you see that, Brother Jonathan? I'll tell you, Pastor keeps us straight. Amen. That's a good pastor. For all of the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. Now, I want you to look on the screen. Now, I asked them to put this up. They may not have been able to, and that's fine if they weren't able to. But the CEV version of Psalm 120. Were you able to do that? Psalm 12 and verse 6. I want to read that to you. And I'm not sure if they have got it up there or not. Psalm 12, verse 6. It says, "Our Lord, you are true to your promises. And your word is like silver heated seven times in a fiery furnace." Oh, Lord, you're true to your promises. Father, tonight we lift our hands to you tonight and we thank you. We're not going to stagger at the promises of God. Lord, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. God, it seems like there's a delay. It seems like that there's nothing in the bank account. It seems like we've tried and tried. But God, tonight we stagger not at the promises of God. We're fully persuaded. Persuade us again tonight that we may walk boldly and say the Lord is our helper. And we will not fear what man will do. And God will thank you for the anointing. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty and do it by faith and not by sight if they don't look pretty. Tell them you're looking pretty. Amen. I was getting nervous when Darnell was singing, he's making diamonds, 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 diamonds. And I'm thinking, our anniversary's coming up. She might be giving me a hint. Amen. In our text tonight, Paul the Apostle is referring back to the life of Abraham. And he is connecting it with the mighty promises of God. And I don't have time to go through the entirety of Romans chapter 4 and expound all the truths that are there. But basically, I want to excise from this passage that Abraham stood on the promises of God. When you actually go back and read the context of this scripture, we see that Paul is saying that Abraham, it looked like nothing was going to happen when God had said it would happen. God had told him that your wife would have a son, a natural born son. But life moved on and the manner of life moved on. And so that Sarah could no longer physically, she had advanced into an age to where she could no longer physically have a child. But God. And Abraham, he thought about how Sarah's womb was dead. But yet he staggered not at the promises of God. What a mighty man this man of faith, this man of Abraham was, a man of faith. That tells me that if Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God, that tells me we can stagger at the promises of God. We can get overloaded and overburdened. And we, you know, when somebody's carrying, every now and then I'll have to pick up a big TV at Best Buy. Big one. I mean, I had to pick it up and I have to carry it all the way from, don't you feel sorry for me? Pull out a tissue. I had to pull out, I mean, from home theater all the way to the front to, And the customer's there, and there's 25-year-old young men and young women around there. And I'm not going to, Brother Philip, I am not going to stagger at that weight of that box. But I'm telling you, I'm fighting that 100%. That TV is heavy. But listen, we don't need to get over. Y'all ain't feeling one bit of sorry for me, I can tell. When you buy your TV, I'm calling somebody to roll it out for you. I'll see you. Praise God. But listen, I'm not going to stagger at the weight of the burdens on my life. We need to enter His gates with thanksgiving. We need to quit drooping our shoulders and looking down and frowning. We need to say, my God is real. My God is able. It may look like it's dead. It may look like it's going down. But you can't go down when God is in it and God is promised. Let's not stagger at the promises of God. I wish somebody would say amen tonight. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, "We don't live by the explanations. We live by the promises." That's a powerful statement. Because I can't explain to you why things happen to you. I can't explain why it rains on the just and the unjust. I can explain to you why Melody Parnell, one of the godliest women that I know, that was a great lover of God and is a great lover of God and very anointed and precious woman of God. I can't explain why she is dealing with, and by the way, she is defeating possibly pancreatic cancer. I can't explain why some people, mean as the devil, walk around with not a pain in their body. That doesn't compute with my human brain. But I'm here to tell you, we don't live by the explanations. We live by the promises of God. And when a woman of God like Melody Parnell comes through and says, look what the Lord has done, I'm here to tell you, people are going to get saved and sanctified. And look what the Lord has done. Because people like Melody Parnell and Pastor Jerry and you and me, when we don't stagger at the promise, I know He's going to heal me. I know He's going to promote me in that job. I know I'm going to have more month than money. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able, and I'm not staggering at the promises of God. You know, they were carrying that ark one time. Oh, Uzzah. That's a bad name, ain't it? Wouldn't you like for your mama to call you ugly? I mean, Uzzah. Amen. Oh, Uzzah. Uzzah was trying to carry that ark, Commander Philip. But the ark stumbled, and he reached down there to try to steady it. It wasn't the ark that stumbled. It was the people carrying it that stumbled. The ark never stumbles. Amen. I'm here to tell you, we don't need to stagger at the promises or the presence of God. We need to stand. I want everybody just to stand right now. I want us to come to attention. Give me a salute. Amen. Stand up for Jesus Christ. Stand up and tell the world you are on fire for God. Stand up. I am standing. Does it look like somebody next to you is kind of, come on. You might want to brace them up a little bit. Hold them up there. Sometimes I need a little help. Amen. Sometimes I get weighted down with those heavy TVs. Sometimes I get burdened down. But I'm going to stand. That's why coming to church is so important. Sometimes, you know, if there's about four or five of us, in fact, Commander Philip, front and center, sir. Amen. I'd speak to him like he's a commander. Amen. Front, Pastor, come on up and help me. Amen. Brother Kyle, come on up and help me. Amen. Shemaine, run on up here. But we don't run. Amen. But you just walk real fast. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, folks, when you get these big guys next to you, now, come on down here, Shemaine. Amen. All right. And I want y'all to squeeze in tight. I want you to kind of squeeze in tight. Come on. Come on. Don't be afraid. I promise. I'm blowing you in a kiss. I promise you that. Amen. Just to be clear. Amen. But I'm kind of staggering. Does it look like I'm staggering? But does it feel like I'm staggering?
You're pushing this way.
I'm staggering. I've been burdened. I've had a tough day at the job. Does it look to y'all like I'm staggering? Kyle, do you feel anything, buddy?
Feel a little something.
You feel a little something. They have been so nice to me. But do you see the point? I need my brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need each other. Give the Lord a hand of praise that we're not staggering in the promises of God. We need the pastor. We need the deacons. We need the youth pastor. We need the church members. We need each other so that they'll help us not stagger at the promises of God. Can you say amen? Now, I want to give you three things tonight. I want to give you the promises of God personally. Say personally. And I want to talk about the promises of God corporately. And then I want to talk about the promises of God eternally. First of all, the promises of God personally. This was a promise to a man by the name of Abraham. It was personal. Abraham, I'm giving you a personal promise. See, I thank God for what He did for Abraham. And I thank God for what He did for my great-grandmother. I thank God for what He has done for Pastor Jerry and others. But I want to tell you what. I claim the promises of God for me. Personally. The man in the mirror. Amen. They are mine. They have my name on them. And when I read a promise of God, you can put your name on it. Brethren, go to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. One of the most powerful. There was an educated, doctor, very, very respected man that I greatly esteem in the Lord. And he said in a class down at Falcon, he said at a class, well, Jeremiah 29:11, everybody misquotes it. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. And he said, he went on to say that we misquoted, and that's really not what that scripture means. It's not a personal promise. It was, and he went on to explain it. And I thought to myself, I didn't go to I went to East Carolina. I'm telling you, this is mine. Amen. Brother Jonathan, I don't know what they taught you at Emmanuel, but I'm telling you, and I respect that man. I love that man. He's one of my friends. And I hadn't had a chance to tell him, but when I do, I'm going to take him out for a French fry, and I'm going to say, brother, I love you, but that's just plain dumb. It is mine. I know. Praise God, the promises are mine. God is thinking about me. He has plans for me. David Johnson, God has his hand on your life. The promises of God are yea and amen. Promises of peace and none of evil to give you a future. Well, glory to God. And an I'm not staggering at the promises. I'm just shouting happy tonight. They're mine. Come on, say they're mine. Mine, all mine. Hallelujah. You see, I have the promise personally of God's personal presence. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. It says, Hebrews chapter 13, it says, Hebrews 13 and 5, says, let your lifestyle, the word conversation means lifestyle, be without covetousness and be content with what things you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee. Now that's the Amplified version, but the King James says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Watch that. I will never leave Ricky or forsake Ricky. Now, I want you to put your name in it. 3, 2, 1. I will never leave, never forsake. Oh, that's a personal promise. Amen. Now, go ahead, Brother Blue. Because the Amplified. Now, understand the Bible was not written in English. It was written originally in Greek. The Greek letters or the Greek language has about four times the words that the English language has. So if you take an unabridged English dictionary, which is about this thick, the Greek dictionary would be about that thick because it just has more words. For example, when I say I love my wife, and I, at the same time, I'll turn around and say, I love Cracker Barrel biscuits. Now, how many of you know I've used the one same word? But how many of you know my love for Cracker... Oh, I'm getting hungry right now. My love for Cracker Barrel biscuits is really not the same love for my wife. I hope not. Amen. It's close, but not that far. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Here's the Amplified that I just read to you. It says, for he, God, himself has said, I will not in any way fail Ricky, nor give Ricky up, nor leave Ricky without support. I will not in any degree leave Ricky helpless, nor forsake, nor let Ricky down. Relax my hold on Ricky assuredly. Brother, that's shouting ground right there. That's what the scripture means. Now put your name in there. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail Ricky, nor give Ricky up, nor leave without support. I will not in any degree leave Ricky helpless, nor forsake Ricky down, or relax my hold on Ricky. Assuredly not. If you're happy about it, give me a big smile tonight. You know, Abraham had God's personal presence. So much so that it was said Abraham was a friend of God. Personal relationship. Teenagers, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Not what somebody has said about Jesus, but you know him personally. Amen. I've had his personal presence show up in the fiery furnace like the three Hebrew boys. Amen. His personal presence. The angel of the Lord encamps about those that fear. The angel of the Lord personally attends to his people. Stephen was being stoned. And as they were stoning him, poof, thud, and getting stoned with stones, with rocks. They were throwing rocks at him, and getting stoned, and I'm sure a stone hit him on his kneecap and busted his kneecap, and maybe one hit his shoulder and dislocated his shoulder, and pain and agony. And then I'm sure blood came down his lips and maybe even a little bit out of his eyes and out of his mouth. But, oh, Stephen, what's going on with you? Man, you're being stoned. You're being killed. But wait a minute. He looks up in the sky and another stone hits and hurts. But he makes a statement while they're throwing stones. He says this, "I see Jesus." Just open your eyes in the hurt. Just open your eyes in the pain. Just open your eyes when you think it's all over. It ain't over till it's over. Even death is not over to the child of God. I'll tell you, he'll take your hand and walk you across Chile Jordan, and you won't have to cross it alone. The Lord, if I live unto the Lord, if I die, I die unto the Lord. But whether I live or die, he's with me. I am the Lord's. Somebody say amen. Amen. God's with me personally. Not only his presence, but I got to hurry up, his pardon. You see, when we sin, he will forgive us. Amen. We have a promise. Look at 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I'm going to stop right here, and I'm just going to tell you, sin is bad. It's not good for you. Listen to me, young people. I know that sin is very appealing. I know that that things we see on movies and TVs, and you need to be careful what you listen to and what you watch, because it makes sin look fun. It makes sleeping around look appealing. There's nothing wrong with it. There's a ton wrong with it. It's not that it's just sin against God, but let me tell you, it'll break your heart. It'll open you to disease. Let me just preach here tonight and tell you, don't sin. If God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's not just teenagers. And I don't know who I'm talking to. I know I'm preaching to the world out there on the live stream. But friends, we got too many adults who are married or who are single or widowed or whatever. You don't go. You be holy. The sin is sin. And when you sin, you're hurting yourself. I know it for the moment it feels good. Even drinking beer and alcohol, for a moment it gives you a buzz. Or the drugs, they may for a moment make you feel so good. But I'm telling you, if it takes you this high, it'll throw you that low. But listen, if you sin, and we all have sinned, just come back and God will forgive you. And God will give you mercy. And you don't have to stagger around. Well, look at what I did in the past. And all I did some bad things. You know what you're doing? You're staggering. But when God forgives you, square your shoulders back and say, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he forgave me. Amen. Old Abraham, he messed up a time or two, didn't he? I mentioned that last week. But God forgave him. We have God's presence, we have God's pardon, and we have God's provision. It says, but my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. It didn't say he'll meet most of my needs. It didn't say he would meet some of my needs. He didn't say he'd meet a lot of my needs. He said he'd meet. Now, some of you weren't old enough to remember this, but in the 70s and 80s was a commercial called All with the washing detergent. And they would say it is A. Exactly. A-L-L. I can tell y'all we're not sanctified and watched a lot of soap operas. Amen. Or TV, I should say. A-L-L. Say it with me. A-L-L. If you're sick, he's promised healing. If you're lonely, he's promised. Let me tell you something. God promised me that he would bring a wife into my life. And he did. And thank God for it. Amen. And trust God with your relationships. Trust God with who you talk to and see. If you're bound, he's promised freedom. If you're bankrupt, he's promised prosperity. If you're broken, he's promised restoration. If you failed, he's promised a second chance, Jonah. If you're hurting, he's promised hope. If you've lost, he's promised. These are personal promises. Say it with me. Personal promises. Thank God the promises for the world, for my mother, for my grandmother, for the preacher, for the deacons. Personally, I have and I stand on the promises of God. And when Abraham laid his son on the altar, the Bible says that he heard a sound in the bush. It was a bush over here and caught in the thicket. Actually, thicket is a bush that's died. And every now and then things die. But listen, even old dead thicket, God can use it to meet your need. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? I know the economy and is dying, but listen, God can, if he provided for Abraham in an old thicket, praise God, in an old bush that burns and is not concerned. Friend, my God can do anything. Have faith in God. Stand on the promises. And there was a ram caught in the thicket. And the Lord provided Abraham a ram so that that ram would not die. That his son would not die, but the ram would. And here's what God, go to Genesis 22, one of my all-time top five favorite scriptures. Brother Blue, Genesis 22, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Listen, that means the Lord will. Oh, y'all sound so enthusiastic about that. The Lord will. And notice the rest of the scripture. As it is said to what day? This is the day that the Lord has made. I love that. Oh, Sister Dorothy, I love that. Praise God. This day, right now, he's still providing. Right now, he has promised. Right now, I may not see it, but he's going to take me through to this very day. When I get up tomorrow, I'll sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." That morning by morning, they are renewed every day. Personal needs that he will meet. You know, we ought to learn to thank God for everything. I've learned to thank God for clean water. We take it for granted. You go to that water fountain and press that bar and you got clean water. Did you know millions in Africa don't even have access to that? Amen. And even in the United States. That's right, my sister. He's personally, he loads us up with benefits. I'm standing on the promises. Say it with me. Personally. Personally. That's me. God had a personal relationship with Abraham. Number two, we're standing on the promises not only personally. And Dr. Moore, I'm telling you, he's meeting your need, my brother. Personally. He's not finished with you. Your ministry days are not over. Praise God. You're going to stand up and preach. He's going to give you some new assignments, new opportunities. Because your assignment there at Elm City may have ended. But your calling is eternal. Because I'm telling you, a million years from today, you'll be on some street in glory telling some angel about the good news that Jesus Christ died. I used to think when we died, we wouldn't have anything to preach because we'd be in heaven. I'm like, wait a minute. The angels are still repeatedly saying, holy, holy, holy. So listen, there will be repetition. The more we repeat it, the more glory he gets. And for 10 million years, I get to say, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is Lord. Praise God. I'm looking forward to shouting it forever and preaching and proclaiming of the wonderful news of my Savior. In fact, one of our preachers down at Falcon, which hit it right on the spot this time, he said, old preachers never die. They just kind of fade right on away. Amen. To us down here. Anyway, I'm moving on. But there's promises personally. Number two, there's promises corporately. And what I'm talking about to Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church. Now I'm talking about, I can refer to the entire body of Christ. I can refer to the church universal. I can refer to every church on every street corner in America and in the world. I can refer to the churches in the 1040 window where the Muslims are persecuting and they have to meet underground in communist nations. God is there and he is everywhere where two or three are gathered. There is the church. In fact, how do I say it? We don't go to church. Actually, the church comes here. Amen. Because you are the church. Amen. Amen. The church comes here. Amen. We don't go to church. The church comes here. You are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, though, I want to talk specifically about this body, about this corporate body. It's called Westmoreland. Everybody say Westmoreland. There are some promises corporately to Brother Jerry and Sister Teresa as shepherds of this flock. Promises to this church. Now look at Ephesians chapter 3. You're getting mighty quiet tonight. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. If there's going to be camp meeting preaching, there's got to be some camp meeting shouting. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Says, now unto him, read it with me. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. All right, stop right there. Man, we quote that scripture. We love that scripture. And that is a personal promise. But go to verse 21. Because here's how you're going to access that. Unto him, read it with me. Unto him be glory where? Oh, we're not going yet, Brother Blue. Go on over to 21. All right. Give me a thumbs up when you do it. You got to see this. Unto him be glory where? 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 By Christ Jesus throughout. Oh, somebody say in the church. Now, again, there's the universal church, the invisible church, but I want to bring it. Thank God for the universal church. But I'll tell you what, the universal church grows through the physical church. Unto him be glory. God wants to do what? Exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think. Unto him be glory in the church. Somebody say, in the church. In Westmoreland Church. You got a little quiet on that one now. Come on now. I said in Westmoreland. Now, I know he works in other churches. I'm not saying that. So don't go home and say he just said, well, but we are in Westmoreland. 99% of us tonight are members of this church or attendees of this church. And I'm here to tell you that if you get plugged into this church as one of the churches, I want you to know God wants to do exceeding and abundantly in this corporate body. There's a corporate anointing. We're flowing together. You've got your part. I've got my part. You can do some things that I can't do. I told somebody this morning, everybody is somebody in his body. There's a corporate anointing on this place. There are promises over this house. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. I want you to know, Westmoreland, you have prayed. Brother Bud, Sister Joan, others have fasted since 1962. And said, Lord, use this church, anoint this church. And I'm here to tell you, God's into the Westmoreland church. And God is not finished with the Westmoreland church. And God is in this place. And there's corporate promises. And I'm glad to be. Is anybody else here tonight? Are you standing on the promises? Are you standing with Westmoreland? If you are, give the Lord a hand. I want you to stand up right now and say, you know, stand up with me if you don't mind. Do it. Hallelujah. Glory. You're standing where? Be a little more specific. I know you're on planet Earth. Now tell me where you're at on planet Earth. You're standing where? I'm standing in Westmoreland Church. Is anybody here tonight going to stand and say, Brother Ricky, Pastor Jerry, and deacons, and elders, and mothers, and brothers, I'm in the church. I'm in it to win it. I'm going to work. I'm going to pray because God's got some promises. You can count on me. Together, we're better. And I'm not going to stagger because you got me, and you got me. And I'm moving on. And through this church, my family's going to get saved. And through this church, this city's going to be touched. And through this church, we have eyes have not seen. It's going to be more than you can imagine. Thank all 10 of you that have got that. No, I'm just kidding with you. If you believe it, say amen tonight. You may be seated for another 50 minutes. Amen. Corporately. promises corporately. God told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, but it ain't all about you. Abraham, I will make pastors preaching all over this, tearing us up. I love it. Amen. Tearing us up in a good sense. You know what I'm talking about, teenagers, the older ones I had to explain. Tearing us up. I mean, he said, I will make you a blessing. How many of you want to be a blessing? Amen. Sometimes people will come into Best Buy, and every now and then, they don't know I'm a preacher. I don't look like a preacher. Well, maybe I do, but I don't. I got a blue shirt on, black pants. I got a uniform. I got a headphone piece in my ear. I look like that fellow on Star Trek, the one that was assimilated by the Borg. Amen. You will be assimilated. And I don't look like a preacher. And I promise when I go to Best Buy, I don't feel like a preacher. I just feel like a human being. I'm like, when is it time to go home? I'm real. I'm just getting real. But every now and then, Brother Philip, somebody will come in there, and all of a sudden I can tell the Lord has sent them my way. And I forget, very tactfully, because I am on Best Buy's time, and they didn't pay me to preach, but I'm also God's time. Amen? And every now and then, I'll just say, let me tell you, I'm a pastor, or I'm a Christian. Most of the time I say I'm a Christian. I don't like, you know, I'm a Christian. Pastor is a calling. Christian is my identity. Amen? And I'm a Christian, and I also am a pastor, but I want to tell you what. And I'll just begin to speak to them, and they'll turn around and had no idea that God led them to Best Buy. Amen? Amen, somebody. I'll tell you what. I want to be a blessing. And you can be a greater blessing when you're part of a church. By myself, I can do so little, but with God and with His church. You see, I can only give, I'm not going to tell you how much I'm going to give for the global outreach offering, but I promise you this, I've given every year for 20-some years. Some years I've given a day's wage, most years I've given a day's wage, some years I wasn't able to, but I'll tell you what, I'm giving, but I promise you, what I'm giving will be under $200. And that didn't sound like a lot. Just let's say $190. That's not what I'm giving, but I'm just saying, under $200. $190. What's that going to do for the world? I'll tell you what, not a whole lot by itself. But when I link in with those, what they give and what Pastor gives and what Sister Deborah gives and what Sister Renee gives and throw, when I, and by the way, I'm pointing you out, so I'm expecting an offering. Amen. That's a psychological way, right? Hey, Brother Bud, his 500. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. Brother Blue, his 1,000. Glory. I tell you, when you add to it, praise God. And even you teenagers back there, Pastor Jonathan, I want you to encourage those teens if they don't give but 50 cents. And they can do better than that. But teens got money. How many of you know that? Amen. You mentioned, well, they don't have any money. I promise you, if I turned every one of you teens upside down, there'd be money to fall out of your pocket. I promise you. Somewhere, maybe not today, but tomorrow. But I want you teens to give because your dollar and my dollar and together we're going to reach the world corporately. God told Abraham, it's not just about you. Look up at the sky. In other words, Abraham, look at the sand on the shore. You know what? Sometimes God's promises get a little messy. You know, sand is messy. That's all right. It's still God's promises. And sometimes that dark night when you see the stars, it's dark, Brother Jerry, sometimes. Sometimes pastoring when people don't come through and we have the devil fighting us. But in the darkness, there's some stars. And those stars represent the promises of God. And I tell you what else. When God said to Abraham, look up. Every star of the millions and multitude of stars represented the church of Jesus Christ. And it represents that the sky is the limit. Say that with me. The sky is not the limit. What is that phrase? The sky is the limit? Is that the phrase? I want you to turn around and tell somebody concerning Westmoreland Church, the sky is the limit. Give Him praise for it tonight, for those promises. The sky is the limit. Amen. The sky is the limit. Exceedingly, abundantly above. In fact, when it turns dark tonight, just go home and look. The stars in the sky. Say, God, The sky's the limit for what you want to do in my life. Somebody say amen. Now, you might just be a little twinkle star. You might not be a big sun. But every little twinkle star, every little person, every preacher on every little church, every time somebody stands behind a pulpit, they make an eternal impact because of the promises of God. Don't stagger at God's personal promises. Don't stagger at God's corporate promises. We're getting ready to go to General Conference in about 2 weeks. And that's where the Pentecostal Church gathers every 4 years. And back in 2009, Mark Rutland spoke, and he told a story at the end of his message I'll never forget. I actually went back to the CD and I typed it up. And he told the story about a friend of his who is now old, but he told him about how when he was young, he was a missionary in Southeast Asia. And he cherished the vision always of going to the Himalayas, and he wanted to see Mount Everest. And his friend said, "Once before I die, I want to see the tallest mountain in the world." He finally got a chance, the chance of a lifetime. He said the day his plane landed, the entire area was engulfed in a massive fog bank. He said by the time he got out of his plane, he couldn't even see the terminal. He said to his guide, "I'm just going to get back on the plane and go home. I only have one day. This is not a good idea." The guide said, "You know, it's bigger than you think." So he went with the guide on a train and then on a Land Rover. And finally they got out and walked. And he said he grumbled and complained the whole way. He said, "This is dumb. Let's go back. We can't see it." Finally, he was holding the guide's coattail and following up a mountain trail to where there was supposed to be this ideal place where you could, which he could catch a view of the great Mount Everest. And the whole way he held on saying, "This is not a good idea. Let's go back. I can't even see the hand in front of my face." But the only thing the guide was kept saying to him is, "No, don't go back. It's bigger than you think." Finally, the guide engineered him out to a ledge where the guide said, "Now look." And so he peered through that fog, virtually impenetrable fog, and there against the horizon, he could make out one mountain, the outline of which seemed just a little bit bigger than the others. He said, "I think I see it." The guide laughed, came behind him, took hold of his head, and said, "Not down there." He said, "Look up there." Anybody still out there tonight? Come on. It's bigger than you think. Teenagers, what God wants to do in your life is bigger than you think. Jose, it's bigger than you think, son. I'm telling you, it's bigger than you think. Darren, it's bigger than you think. Angelica, God's hand's on your life. You follow God, hard after God. Amen. Elizabeth, all of you. To all the teenagers, I want you just to stand right now. I do, if you don't mind, stand. And Pastor, I'm proud of them. They shaped up once you cracked the whip on them. Amen. Give them a big hand. Don't y'all love them tonight? Teenagers, look at me. Bigger than you think. And don't look down here and down here. Come on, look up, look up. Come on, look up. Look up to God. Keep looking up. "Well, Brother Ricky, my boyfriend broke up with me." You're looking down here. You can be seated. Amen. Y'all getting uninterested quick, I can tell. Praise God. Brother Pastor Jerry's a military man, and he says, "Be quiet, you better be quiet." Amen. But I tell you what, a military man loves you. Amen. And we love you. Amen. Praise God. Because we got a battle to face. And we need to focus on the Lord. Amen, somebody. I tell you what God has in store for Westmoreland is bigger than we think. Look at Matthew. I got to come to a... I'm going to do like a long link of sausage. I'm just cutting in and we're just going to quit. Because I'm not finished. But what makes it so bad is I have to call somebody to the piano. And I'm the one that plays the piano. So that means I get to preach as long as I want to. Amen. But listen. I said the promises of God We're going to not stagger at them personally. We're not going to stagger at them corporately. Look at Matthew 18 and 20, where two or three are gathered in my name. He's in the midst. I said, God is in the midst of Westmoreland Church. This is a holy place. This is a powerful place. Look at Isaiah 12 and 6. Cry out and shout. Isaiah 12 and 6. Some of you sit there and pout. No, it says, cry out and shout. Thou inhabitant of Zion. Read it with me. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. Well, we might not have this. We might not. We've got the Holy One in the midst of His church. And God's up to something. Amen, somebody. Don't stagger at the promises of God. Be faithful to the house of God. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 5. And James Leggett told me right here. Told me right here. I'm not going to go too far away. But right here. Told me right here. Right here. He was standing right here. I was standing right here when I was a lot younger. And my hair was a lot blacker. Amen. 2003. Some of you weren't even born back here. 2003. He looked at me. He said, you know, he talks like this. His nose is like that, and he looks down, and he talks, he says, I want you to stay here and build the Pentecostal Holiness Church needs, talking about the International Pentecostal, needs a church of 300 and more in Wilson, the city proper. And I looked at him, and I'm like, okay, and then I left a year later. And I didn't think, you know, I thought, well, he goes to all these churches around the world. You know, he preaches in continents, and he's the general superintendent. And I saw him at Falcon Camp meeting the next year. And he walks up to me and says, Brother Nelms, I thought I told you to stay at Wilson. Busted. Brother Leggett, if you're watching, guess where I'm at? Guess where I'm right back? I'm right back here at Wilson. Go to Haggai chapter 2. The Bible says, God gave me this promise, and I'm at Westmoreland, so I'll just take it for Westmoreland because we are the church, and God has the promise for every church, but I take it. Look, Haggai chapter, stand with me tonight. If you don't stand, I'm going to be going all night. Stand with me. According to the word that I coveted when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear you not. Go to verse 6. For thus saith the Lord, yet one. Once it is a little while. Somebody says, just a little while. And I'll shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Go to the next scripture for me, brother. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I will tell you, Westmoreland Church is going to be a church that touches the nations of the world. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord. Go to the next scripture. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. So don't you rob God of His tithe and offering. You're robbing yourself, as the pastor said. Now go to the next one. Now here it is, James Leggett. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former house. And in this, let me say, this place, corporately, right here at, I'm standing at Westmoreland. I'm like Abraham. The sky is the limit. I'm moving on. I wish somebody say, I am blessed and highly favored of God. Give the Lord another hand of praise. Just remain standing. He's going to bless you personally. Say amen. He's blessing us corporately. Say amen. He's going to bless us eternally. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. For the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed. My kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord. John 10 and 28. Brother Bill, you got it for me? And I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life. They shall never perish. He didn't say, I will give to them. He said, in the Greek, he says, you got eternal life now. Amen. Now here's my closing scripture. Matthew chapter 8. Tying it all back to Abraham. Abraham had personal promises. He had corporate promises to the nation. And I say unto you, many shall come from the east and the west, talking about heaven, and shall sit down with who? One of these days, Sister Rose, I'm going to find me a table in glory, pull up a chair, And I'm going to say, Abraham, would you tell me about that ram caught in that old dried up thicket that nobody would have paid any attention to? And Abraham is in eternity. And we've got some eternal promises. We're going to go through these valleys. The nights may be dark, but their stars shine at night. I want you to step out of your seat. And I want you to, don't come staggering down here now. Come on now. I know how some of you, brother, you don't know what I'm going through. I want you to square your shoulders back. I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come down to this altar. And I want you to praise God for His promises on your life personally. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you put in for a job and it's declined, it's because God said there's something better. Can I get an amen? When you get a report from the doctor, you have a greater doctor, the great physician. I want you to come in. Some of you look like you might be staggering a little bit tonight. Oh, Brother Ricky, you don't know. My husband left me for somebody else. Don't come down here staggering. Listen, God can get a hold of him. And if the worst comes to worst, he's got a free will. And if he leaves and moves on, let me tell you, God won't leave you nor forsake you. There is a future. Dr. Moore, I'm here to tell you there's a future for you, my brother. There's a future. I know we as ministers, as we get, and I'll be 40 something in a few weeks. Amen. 46. I said it real loud and clear. 46. Look at Jose over there. Somebody escort him. Brother Shemaine, come over here. No, I'm just kidding. Brother Jose, I love you. Amen. I love you. But let me tell you, we get older. But I've already made a prayer request that when I turn 50 in the year 2021. And some of you thinking that's forever and away. I'm telling you, we're getting there closer. But in the year 2021, Brother Elam, I'll turn 50. Unless the Lord calls me home and he hadn't told me he was. And I got a good idea he's not. Amen. Because some other things he's told me. But I've already made up my mind that in August of 2021, I'm going to ask the Lord for 30 years of health and the greatest days of my ministry. Not my ministry, his ministry. And I'm not talking about Ricky Nelms. I'm talking about God. Where I want to decrease. I want God to come through. Amen. Ever how he chooses to do it, I don't know how it is. But I've already got a bold request. I want to see God do amazing things. You know what? You know what I'm doing? I'm standing on the promises of God. Lift your hands tonight. Father, we stand on the promises tonight. We know you. We are not going to stagger through unbelief. We're not going to give in to the lies of the devil. Hallelujah. My children are going to be saved. My children are going to be sanctified. Lord, that body, that business, God, is going to be started. Hallelujah, God. You are a God that will bring capital. You are a God that will bring contacts. If it's your will, it'll be your bill. And God, I speak to business owners tonight. I believe, God, even in drought and famine, we can shine in the darkest night. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And everybody with a broken heart tonight. Somebody's got a broken heart. You've been hurt. People's hurt your feelings. The Lord said, I'm your healer. And I will never leave you. Nor forsake you. God said, I got you right where I want you. You're not an accident. God is orchestrating your life. And some of you tonight, I just believe you've been burdened. But the Lord says, lift up your hands and lift up your head. For I am Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. Your personal provider. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just worship him. I know we don't have any music right this minute, but just worship him. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you tonight, Lord. He's not forgotten. He's not forsaken. Hallelujah. Brother Eric is not feeling well tonight. And Brother Felton, Eric, and April, he was in the hospital all night last night with his back. Father, touch his back tonight. He may be watching on live stream. Brother Eric, we declare and decree healing. You and your wife are trying to serve God. You're joining the church. And it's not an accident that you find yourself in the hospital twice. But the Lord is going to raise you up and you're going to shine in the darkest of night. And He's bringing healing and He's going to take care of every medical bill. And He's going to bless you going in and coming out. And we decree and declare over you the favor of God as you move with the house of Westmoreland Church and proclaim the personal promises of God over your life. Somebody say amen tonight. Join hands. We need each other tonight. Join hands tonight. Amen. Somebody might be staggering next to you. Why don't you just lift them up tonight? Come on, pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for one another tonight, God. Oh, God, You're going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Oh, God, we bless You tonight. We praise You tonight. We bless You tonight. We bless You tonight, Lord. We praise You. Brother Jerry, just come. Hallelujah. We bless You. And won't let a day go by without praising the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Just pray for one another.
Thank You, Lord. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Glory.